I want you to put your hands together.
There goes to the neighborhood.
And welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause.
There goes to the neighborhood.
All right, welcome back to the Smokescreen Podcast, episode 33.5.
No shit.
Because we've already tried this once tonight.
34.5.
Oh, I'm sorry. 34. We're on 34?
Yep.
Damn. We're flying.
I know, man.
So, yes, we tried to do this once already. Let's just get it out there. But we want to make sure you guys on YouTube have video. So, here we go. We're starting it all over.
That was fun.
But yes. By the way, I'm your co-host, Robert Lazar.
And I am E.T. the extra testicle.
That was great.
Oh, shit, dude.
And today's podcast is brought to you by the United States Space Force. So, as you can see, like we said before, this is a theme. We're talking about UFOs because there's been this uptick again, like we mentioned the first time, where the government, Air Force specifically, Navy, has now released more footage. We just saw an article like 2 hours ago on CNN, like 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan, of course, talked about with Bob Lazar about a year ago. We talked about Bob Lazar probably about a year ago, close to it.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Did a podcast on it. And we want to revisit it because there's some little wave of stuff going on. Joe Rogan just had somebody else on, Tim from Timcast. I forgot his last name. They spent probably 2 hours of the podcast talking about UFOs and all that good stuff. And I guess with the current release of all these, you know, declassified footage, there's something going on again. Like you,
there
you
is. Know. I was thinking, I was saying, you know, I think that's how this works. It has our whole life, you know, something, either it'll be a movie, an event.
Yes.
Something will happen and UFOs will be a big topic and then it'll go away.
And then, yeah, because, you know, Independence Day comes out. You talk about it for a month, and yes. Then people forget about it until there's another light that shows up in Arizona.
That's right.
Or New Mexico.
That's exactly
right. Oh, I forgot. Yes. The t-shirt again.
Yes.
The second time we showed it off. I don't have mine yet. I'm jelly.
I love this.
Ordered them the same day. So we have Smokescreen Podcast t-shirts available now, but mine didn't come yet because of the COVID delays.
And I have to say, I did have on a tie-dyed shirt.
No, man.
For the person who said,
"You changed."
James has changed. That cut me deep, man. Yeah,
something's wrong.
I was like, damn, I have changed, haven't I? Yeah.
They were just all dirty.
And
that's
so
all.
I wore a tie-dye tonight, and then Chris said, "Your shirt came in," so boom.
Yes.
I'm rocking this.
He does have a tie-dye literally laying right over there on his bag. So he's changed just to wear it to show it off in the podcast.
Yes, man.
So anyway, so we mentioned the first time we tried this, we started getting into this again because of the footage, and I mentioned to James last night the Bob Lazar stuff's picking back up again because of all this stuff, I guess. But we mentioned first the old school show that I had recorded, Ancient Aliens, and I'm not talking about the series, the
right.
original first
like
2 hour
special.
Yeah,
It
was on Discovery, I believe, that I recorded years ago on the DVR. And it was really, really good because that's always been fascinating to me because it goes into like these ancient civilizations and how they build these, you know, wonders of the world in some cases and Stonehenge and all these things, pyramids in Egypt.
Right.
And is there a connection with extraterrestrials? And then, like I said, with Joe Rogan podcast, now they brought up the point, which has been a longstanding thing, that the Bible could be essentially stories of UFOs that's been translated to death over thousands of years.
Right, it could be. You know, speaking of that Ancient Aliens, there are kind of two things that stand out to me in that.
Right.
The one that, like, you know, because when you left that special, once you finally showed it to me,
yeah,
you think about that for a couple days.
You
it,
do.
It hits
the,
hard.
It's the whole ancient astronaut theory. I think that's what they call it.
Yeah. The two things that got me the most was when they showed these ancient things that could only be viewed from above.
Yes, those
and
type of
way
things.
Way pre-hot air balloon, pre-airplane,
yes.
helicopter, all that.
Like 4,000 or 5,000, some cases 6,000 years ago or
yeah.
more.
And clearly it was made to be viewed from way high.
From the sky.
Yeah.
yeah.
So,
because I don't see how, I guess you can these days, but in those days, could somebody walk around and plan some big picture
yeah,
from
I mean,
a ground view?
You could, but there's no...
But it's not going to be...
Use.
Yeah, I don't get it.
That's so weird. So
like, I mean, I guess maybe you're showing something to the sky gods.
True.
But why they're sky gods?
That's actually a good explanation, but right. Why are they
why
in the
sky? Are sky gods in the first place?
That's right.
Because, of course, now, yes, a lot of that can be explained by, you know, meteorological stuff and, you know, back then shooting stars that they didn't know what the fuck they were. So there's all kinds of cool, but it's always been really fascinating.
That one, there was one more. That one, and then the one I thought about was the other story that was in that special about that remote island during World War II.
Yes, and how they created religion
about,
around the planes.
Yeah.
Yes, and they started burning effigies of planes to get this stuff because
so cool.
Essentially, the U.S. used this island temporarily, had a runway on it, and they brought in the supplies and gave it to the natives. And then when the war was over and they left, a religion was founded.
Yeah, where is all these people coming from the sky
and metal birds?
Stuff? Yeah,
and so they actually built like planes out of straw and shit, and burned them to the gods to bring the stuff back.
That's so crazy to
so
think about.
So if that happened just in World War II, I mean, damn,
right?
You're talking about a long time for stories to change and adapt and religions to be created around this kind of stuff, including possibly the major ones of the world.
Exactly.
Because
nobody wants to admit that.
No,
people who are deep into those religions, they want to take everything kind of literally from the text.
Yeah, it's hard to be in a religion and then, you know, take a step back and look and realize that people go to a certain location in Europe and march around a black rock that came from the sky.
Yeah, you know?
I mean, it's just, I mean, let's just,
and
let's,
when you're raised believing this from the moment you can talk, I mean, you learn, you know, mama, dada, Jesus, you know,
around here. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
So it's really crazy to think about, you know, those people being able, they're so deep to step back and think about it.
And that's the thing.
Point of view.
Really,
and they would go, why should I?
Really odd thing about culture too. And the really fascinating thing about different cultures is if you go to India and talk about UFOs, it's just normal. They completely accept it.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean? But here, you know, now not so much today, but like we were saying, you know, Troll Boy on Ancient Aliens.
I just literally wrote hair guy. That's so funny.
Because he became a meme. He's one of the guys who, you know, he's in so deep that everything is aliens. And it turns you off when you watch those shows. So when Ancient Aliens, for example, got so big and whatever, and then it became a series, it just got crazy because they started kind of repeating things and reaching further and further to make everything aliens.
Right.
So, you know, then he became a meme. He was on everything. And, you know, you saw the meme, him going aliens with his fucking hair out of here.
One of the first memes, I think.
Probably so. And it's been a while.
And that's, you can beat something to death.
Yes.
And you take a good thing and just wear it like a song or, you know, a group that has so many hits, you know, but that guy, like I was telling you before, that guy with the hair, everybody knows who he is.
Yes. Spray tan.
Spray tan and hair, yes. He, to me, represents something in my mind of, you know, it seems like everybody who's really super duper into UFOs and that kind of thought process, they seem a little off. And just like the Bob Lazar guy, what did you say his name was?
Jeremy Corbin?
Yes.
Corbin.
Jeremy. Yep. He
the producer, by the
seems way. A little off to me. Like, Bob gets a lot of hate, but I think he brings a lot on him because of his weirdness and
because when we did the first podcast and we watched the documentary to talk about it, and then we did some research on the sides and everything, you know, you look back at the documentary, like you mentioned, it's not good.
It's really
not. It's about him. It's not about Bob Lazar and his story. It's about him capturing the story of Bob Lazar.
Yes. Look what I brought you.
Look, exactly. And, that type of thing.
And he, we complained in our first podcast about, first off, having Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, you couldn't understand anything.
No, he's like punch drunk.
It was
something.
Literally like,
it's like putting him through a drunk filter, like people do sometimes.
Like the whole time, he's supposed to be something cool. I mean, his voice is cool if he could speak.
If you could understand
him. If he could enunciate.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just really
it's
weird.
Like they raised the Macho Man from the dead.
Oh, yeah.
I love Macho Man.
I do too.
That is not a diss on Macho Man at all. I love him. Rest in peace. But Yeah, so that, we complained about that. I mean, we complained about the shot where they kept going back to the shot where the guy recorded in this big indoor pool room.
Yeah, the newscaster who initially broke the story.
And the acoustics and everything in there was horrible
for
recording.
Yeah, why are you filming in a pool?
Right,
like
so
we
weird.
Know, like, I'm an amateur videographer. I'm a technically professional YouTuber. And one of the first things I learned is you don't film in a room with nothing on the walls.
Yeah, that sounded horrible.
Oh, by the way, just speaking of nothing on the walls, I know we're getting bare in here.
Yeah, we are.
I'm moving. If for anybody that didn't know this, we mentioned it last week, but in 2 weeks I'm moving, and we're gonna have a studio. So we're gonna slowly start transitioning to a
you'll see some permanent big changes
studio. So like the first couple weeks, we may not have everything done,
right?
But we're gonna have a table and cameras on different angles. So we're working towards that. It's happening soon.
It's really.
So I'm super excited. So we got happening. The shelves are empty back here. The house is a fucking mess. You can't see it all, but we still pulled out everything back in the living room. But James did, actually. I'm getting out of the shower. He's in there dragging shit around.
Riddick's trying to jump in the shower at him and say, James is here.
I know he did. He busted through the door. But I wanted to say, too, like I mentioned in the first attempt, that, you know, we got a lot of comments about, I think, just, you know, people not fully listening. And we said in the Bob Lazar thing, we said in other things and talking about this stuff, we both believe that absolutely, first of all, I know by the numbers, there is other life.
Right.
And there's no doubt in my mind there's other sentient life just by sheer possibility. And you mentioned this earlier, and I think it's a good point. And it was actually brought up on Joe Rogan when that Tim guy was like, why would they want to study us? We're so, if they can travel light speed and bend space time and blah, blah, blah. Well, look at us. I don't like the argument because we study grasshoppers.
Yes.
And
at all aspects of their life.
Everything.
Cycle.
There's people who literally are studying, you know, pick any particular insect or piece of grass or a plant, and their whole life's dedicated to it.
Yeah.
So if you have an extraterrestrial race that's advanced as far as propulsion,
yeah,
coming by the Milky Way, and they happen to, you know, pick up on our radio signals or whatever,
yep,
they're going to be interested. I mean, you would think,
yeah,
you know, they're going to be interested at least to, like, check on us, like, well, they're getting there.
Yeah, potentially, I guess they may stop at a lot of different planets and, you know, look for resources
science, studying, yeah, watching,
could be.
Observers.
And so I believe that, yeah, like, we think they're here very often or whatever, but I think that maybe in their time, their how would you say it? Their perception of time, it's not that often because they're able to go interdimensional and things like, so they come, they check on us, and then they come back and, you know, it could be
they
100
come back
years
a week
or,
later
it
and
like,
it's a
yeah,
thousand years here or some
something
shit.
Like
I mean,
that.
You just don't
it's
know.
A trip, man. And I could just see that they go, okay, yeah, let's let this one stew a little bit and then come back to it later. They come back and like you said, now we got radio waves and then they come back because they hear some big booms going on, and they're like, right, wait a second, these guys.
They figured out the atom.
They figured out
and
how
you
to
know,
split the
atom. And, you
know,
this goes into a lot of movies, and the reason those movies are there because people have these ideas.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Stargate, one of my favorite movies of all time, by the way, Stargate, watch the original, not the series, fuck the series, the original Stargate movie. What's really cool about it is it fits into the ancient alien shit like we talked about on, you know, the ancient alien show,
mm-hmm,
the ancient astronaut theory, because it explains ancient Egypt and all that stuff. It's a really cool movie. But the alien said that in the thing that y'all figured out the atom.
Ah, okay.
And that was one of the reasons the Stargate was a place where they could come to Earth.
Got you.
So it's, you know, sci-fi comes from something.
It does. And I personally believe that there is that UFOs are not just unidentified flying objects that are like top secret military things or another country in our airspace and they have something that we're not familiar with. I believe that we have been visited by either other life, other species, life forms, intelligent, or ourselves from the future.
Yeah, and that's another great point. And it was that movie I was telling you about. We'll look into it. I think it's The Spear. I read the book years ago, like years and years ago. And then it was a movie. And I want to say that was it, but maybe something else I'm mixing up. But that's another common theory. And it holds water. mean, yeah, why not?
Yeah, right. Because I don't know. I told you I don't remember the name of it, but that one movie with what's his name? All right.
Matthew McConaughey. Yes. Interstellar. Yes.
I think that is awesome, man. Yes. That one can get your gears turned in your brain that hadn't turned in a while.
That's right. It's kind of a mind fuck. He's back in the past telling his daughter how to figure out the code and behind the bookshelf, but it's an interdimensional thing.
Yes.
It's really trippy and cool.
It's a trip, man. And that deals with time.
Yes. You know, manipulating time, space time, and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, but I do think, on the other hand, like you just said, you know, you believe there are other, you know, species checking us out, whatever, you know, whether they're observing or taking part in something or even, you know, like working with us, you know, at Area 51 or some shit. I do think there's also a lot of, you know, regular military secret stuff being tested. We mentioned the Blackbird before. It used to be top secret.
Yep.
So there's no doubt the government hides things. And that's the great thing about Bob Lazar and those stories is, he's the one that brought Area 51 into the public's attention.
Right.
And then it became a pop culture thing. We mentioned Highway 60, Route 66 becoming, you know, UFO highway. And so you got New Mexico, Arizona, all these different test sites.
That's another thing. Kids today, they don't, you know, Area 51, it seems like it doesn't mean as much to them because they grew up with it always being there. And somebody's going, oh, that's bullshit, or oh, that's where all this crazy shit's happening. Yes. And you know, but for us, it was sprung on us when we were young, you know, it's like, oh shit, they're hiding shit out there.
They are doing something. Yeah. Out there. And again, I will say, I told you, I think some things obviously have to be kept secret. When you're talking about military technology. I mean, that's just the way it is.
And I was telling you about this new series on Netflix called Hangar One.
Yes.
And it shows, like I told you, I had to turn away pretty quick, but it's just trying too hard. And I think I'm going to go back and give it another chance, but I think it shows Truman shaking hands with an alien.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it tries to go into, basically it's saying, you know, Truman was the first president to deal with UFO phenomenon.
I believe he claimed he saw something himself.
There was a clip where he talked about it, and I told you I was worried it could be a deep fake.
Yes.
And that's one thing I don't like is these deep fakes.
I don't either.
You never know what's a real clip of anybody anymore. But
right.
But yeah, so it talked about how the presidents, they'll talk a good game when they're, you know, like Jimmy Carter evidently said, if I get elected, I will tell you everything I find out. And then he's tight-lipped about it.
And then he don't say a damn
word. So they kind of go into that, like why that happens and how they're, you know, promising all this stuff when they're campaigning and then they don't say anything.
Yeah.
They get briefed as soon as they get elected, you know.
Right. Because that's always a thing, right, is when every talk show, when a president gets elected and they go on a talk show, that's the first thing they ask him. So this is always in the undercurrent of the culture.
It is.
So
tell me though,
the UFOs.
If you were running for president, at some point in the back of your mind, you can't wait to find out about some secrets.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that's
whether it's UFOs or
like the president's book of secrets with Nicolas Cage.
You can't wait.
You want there to be that book,
right?
You kind of want it to happen.
Yeah, and then like you and I've talked before on off camera. They probably don't have as much clearance as we think.
They probably don't. It's need to know type shit.
Yep.
We just watched a documentary that ended up being fiction.
Yeah.
But based off true events, essentially. And this was the Phoenix Tapes was what we watched. There's another one called the Phoenix.
This is the Phoenix Tapes 97.
Yes, 97. And it was about the lights that everybody, like 10,000 different people reported.
Yes.
And we watched this little thing before we got started, and you brought it to my attention because you were like, is this real? You think so?
Yeah.
Because it was a Blair Witchy thing.
It is. Found footage.
A found footage horror. There you go.
They took two real events that happened at the same time and made a story out of it, like it's some kind of fictionalized story.
Kind of a horror Blair Witch style you know, cameras in hand. The footage was lost until now.
Totally recommend
and
it.
Yeah, it's really entertaining. It's really entertaining.
They do a good job.
It's entertaining, but then there was we were like watching it with the skeptical eye, thinking that's too convenient.
Yeah,
that's
we were looking convenient. For anything.
Because you didn't really know, because you said you had watched it and didn't find a lot on it. Then we watched it, and we did end up finding, like, okay, the one of the actors was actually a producer or the director or something. But it's interesting stuff, because, like, you get into, we mentioned Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah.
And all the because in the subculture, I guess you'd call it, the UFO subculture, which used to be considered kind of crazy, or, you know, you're crazy if you talk about it. Nowadays, people can say, I saw something weird, and it's not that big a deal, which is good. Yeah. It's a good thing.
Tell me, it's kind of weird. The UFO thing is weird. Okay, people see lights in the sky that they don't really know what it is all the time, but I think we live in a world where if a Star Wars fan says they saw a light in the sky, right. You don't take it with as much weight if a corn farmer
right
says yes. He saw something weird.
Yes,
you think this guy, he wants to see a light so bad that you don't even believe him,
because he owns a fucking fake lightsaber,
and he could probably he could possibly see the fucking sighting of all time,
right?
But you wouldn't buy it.
You
from
wouldn't
him.
Buy it because he's a Star Wars dude,
yeah,
or a Star Trek dude, or
it's
whatever.
It's a trip, man.
That's what it was. It was First Contact.
First
contact, Star Trek, the First Contact. Well, we were talking about, you know, why, you know, some advanced race would visit us or even care.
Yeah.
Because to us, we're essentially, you know, again, it's a lot of assuming, because we don't know.
No.
We don't know how these creatures would act, think, look, whatever. But we're assuming based off the technology to be able to get here. That is
that's,
something
that's
you can go
from. That's
what
you've got to try to think about.
Right. So the idea is that in Star Trek First Contact, the idea was that they didn't care. The Vulcans were coming by Earth and knew we were here, but they didn't care. Wasn't advanced enough for them. But they saw Zefram Cochrane launch the first rocket to, or first hyperdrive.
Right, so, that's right.
So he went out and he just did a launch and went around the moon and came back or whatever.
And that got their attention.
And that caught their attention. So they went off course and came down, and that was the first meeting.
This was the movie you just showed me since I lived here. Remember,
yeah,
I'd never
maybe,
seen
yeah,
it before.
Yeah. So when they were doing the whole Moby Dick theme.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that reminded me. That's what I was trying to say earlier, what I was missing when you said something about, because I don't buy that argument that they just wouldn't care, like we mentioned before.
Yeah, I don't either. And plus, if you think about what it would take to get here, we still are thinking in our terms of fuel,
yes,
and
yes.
Technology, and they literally, that's one good thing Bob did bring up was, you know, hey, they're using a different fuel, you know, all of our
right
fuel sources and combustion and all this, you know, they're not doing that. And so I think that is the right train of thought. Whether he's right or wrong, I think the right train of thought is they deal with time differently and they deal with distance and, you know, fuel and things.
I mean, if you can bend space-time, it's not even distance anymore.
That's right.
But at the same time, what's odd about it is he went with the whole element 115, which is still solid in his words, even though they haven't found the stable isotope, but apparently it will be solid if they could do it.
Yes, it will
so
be.
So it's still a solid rocket right. fuel, essentially, that somehow
yep.
creates
yeah energy. Right now with us, anytime we've done anything 115, it's done. It's like poof.
Yeah,
you
exactly
know?
Milliseconds.
Yes, yeah, so, but they you know, they're far advanced from us, and they have some kind of a way for him to steal some.
Yeah, right, exactly. A way for him to carry some away.
Yeah,
because that was one of the big criticisms. You literally couldn't carry it away.
Right.
I mean, you'd have nothing to make a solid.
Yeah.
And it's radioactive half-life. You'd probably die.
Exactly.
So I mean,
so, yeah, you know, again, I will give him credit. He does not say a lot about, you know, he can. It would be like me describing how a car works.
Right.
I can describe how it works, but I couldn't build one or fucking know exactly what each part is doing and everything. So I'll give him credit.
You know that this liquid goes in and then some things blow up inside and pistons move
up and
down.
Cause this to turn, which then they gear it down and cause that axle to turn. Right. All this, you know what I mean? I can tell you about it, but I could never build one, begin to build one or tear one apart and rebuild it. And I mean, now don't get me wrong. I think if I cared enough and I got enough manuals, I could come close. I could make one putt-putt down the road probably.
Right. At least crank.
Yeah, at least crank.
You could probably build a motor.
But yeah, I mean, there are people out there who know it well enough that they could, like, take a milling machine and, you know, make every part to a car,
fabricate it from scratch.
Exactly. So, you know, like that's one thing I'll give him credit for, and I think that's smart if he's making everything up, is not to go too deep.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be vague about it.
Got to be.
And that was the other big thing about when we did the first podcast, and a lot of comments were like, what's his, you know, motivation? And they even say that on the Joe Rogan podcast. He has no motivation. He repeated that the other day, actually. This guy has no motivation. Well, he does. I mean, let's be real about it. It's intellectually dishonest to say he doesn't have motivation. When you're selling Bob Lazar tapes, the Lazar tapes back in the day where there were ads in the paper, and you're selling a model. People forget about the model, the UFO model that he got a piece of every one sold.
Mm-hmm.
That he basically described this flying saucer, and then they picked it up and made a model of it. You know, was it the test?
And we don't know how much he made off of these tapes. I could have bought the tapes, copied them, and distributed them to a million friends. Right. You know, he might not have made a lot, but... one thing I'll say is I think you and I hit it on the head the other night.
Yes.
I think Bob got goaded because he had actually came from working in this certain area that it was top secret. He got shit canned or something, started talking to somebody who was buddies with a dude that worked for the fucking TV station.
Right.
And they blew it up. In a time when you couldn't be fact-checked.
Right,
so
exactly.
Now you talk a lot more when people can't check your facts. But now...
Now that Google came along.
You know, it's tough. So, again, I'm not saying I'm discrediting, but I'm saying he's been consistent. Chris and I have agreed with that.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely been consistent
with his story. But he's way more tight-lipped and not doing these convention halls where he does speaking engagements and stuff like he did back before somebody could pick up a phone and go, hold on a second.
Yeah, let me check this professor out, or let me check this out, or Element 115 or whatever.
The story kind of grew bigger than him. I think he did it for a little publicity or to get some attention to something that he wanted to get attention to.
Right, and I think he was goaded along by his buddies who were out there, you know, UFO guys from the get-go already, and I think he got pushed into something a little bit, you know, at least fabricating some things. Because we know that, yes, he worked at Los Alamos. I was just saying before, and not to get into the whole thing again, but just, you know, yes, he worked there as a contractor, but I think he, like the other guys, told on the thing that he was just a technician as opposed to, you know, a physicist or whatever. And then the guy that, you know, had his house appraised in exchange for some kind of tapes or something, Bob Lazar shows up with a tape measure. He's the one doing appraisals. Why is a physicist doing appraisal? You know, this is all kinds of weird shit like that.
But you never know. You never fucking know. And that's the thing. That's, you know, I buy in this is where me and Chris disagree or come to a little, you know, bump in the road is I buy more into our government's interference and willingness to cover things up, because I think the government can make him look like a bumbling idiot if they want to by taking away things that just make his fucking story fall apart, and then just say, sit back and go, okay, deal with that shit. This will wipe out the fucking story right there, you know?
Yeah, it's certainly possible. No doubt about it. I mean, it's certainly possible. I mean, it just...
Because if he would disappear, then everybody's believing his story.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you know, no doubt.
I think if they send a hitman to him, then his story is... Everybody's going to believe it 100%. But if you just weaken the fucking foundation...
But then... when did that story come out? Was it this...
It was the 80s.
80s? Yeah. Early 80s?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just trying to think if that was still at a time when... You know, you mention something to somebody and all of a sudden you do disappear. You know, why not just go that route if you're trying to hide it?
Yeah. And that's one thing. If I was him, I wouldn't do Joe Rogan.
Yeah, no, I don't think he should have done Joe Rogan.
No.
Because he got talked into this documentary by this Jeremy guy.
Yeah.
And it brought us all back to him when he's basically been working at his little thing, selling chemicals.
And fine. And I think Jeremy probably heard about those Bob Lazar tapes, watched them, got a hard on, and was like, let me go find this guy. Hey, Bob, remember when you were famous before? I'm going to make you even more famous.
Exactly.
And he was like, I don't really want to do this.
Right, because they're going to be asking questions again. And then, you know, I don't know. He got something from it, you know, and Jeremy talked him into it because he already believed. And then, you know, they made a big deal of things like the hand scanner. Turns out, you know, that was because it's not, and this doesn't fully discredit him by any means, but they made it a big deal in the documentary. Like this hand scanner, nobody believed existed that scanned your bones, right, to check in, to go into the lab, right? Turns out it was just in Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
I know, but see, that's the weird thing.
And they made a big deal like, oh, look, I found one.
I know.
Oh, I ain't seen one of those since, you know,
but
since
Joe
I worked
Rogan's
there.
Sidekick is usually fast on uncovering shit like that.
Jamie, yes.
I don't know why Jamie, if it was in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, it's so easy to find a picture of it.
It is.
Why the fuck is it just out there now since the Joe Rogan podcast? People are saying.
I mean, it's in the movie. It's been out since.
But that's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
Why? Because Jamie is that guy.
But the problem, though, is he don't really look stuff up. Well, he does occasionally. But
unless
until
he's
Joe
directed to.
Tells him to, and Joe didn't question him on anything.
You'll hear Jamie sometimes saying, oh, I was over here checking for this. When Joe tells him to look something up, he'll say, well, I was looking for this. But he doesn't, like, interject it.
That's right.
And he could have been sitting there going.
That's what bothered me about that podcast. I think we mentioned the first podcast we did on Bob Lazar and specifically. Was certain people he gets on there, because that's what we love about the Joe Rogan podcast. It can be anybody, and they'll talk about anything. And that's kind of what we replicate here in some way.
We try,
We have a general topic, but we can go wherever.
Every time.
And there's usually like some kind of psychological thing behind things that we like to get into.
Exactly.
But he doesn't question him. He just literally listens to everything and sucks it in, and it's all true in his head.
Well, I wonder why that is.
So next time you have Neil deGrasse Tyson on, why would you not ask him about things that he mentioned about Element 115 and stuff like that? He don't.
That's weird because I thought the same thing when he had Bernie on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was like, you know, Joe, you have your finger on the pulse of what's going on. You know the questions that people want you to ask him.
Yes.
But he didn't. Won't. So there's certain people he'll grill the shit out of.
Right.
And I guess it's how much weed or what kind of weed he's smoking
that's the thing. That's one thing that's turning me off lately because I love the podcast, but I'm just getting tired of the same old comedians being on there, and that's it. That's what it's turned into.
Yep.
But then occasionally you'll have he's going to be on there, she's going to be on there. I want to check that one out. But he just don't. It's like certain people, especially at some certain status.
Yep.
He will not question.
Yeah, his comedian friends, it's like he's almost trying to recreate the Rat Pack.
Yes.
With Dean Martin and them, Frank
but,
Sinatra.
But he was just one of those, because you've seen all the, you're a bigger podcast guy than I am. I've watched every podcast when there's a physicist on there, because I just love science shit, basically. Any kind of physicist, whether it's, there's been a shit ton. Obviously, Neil deGrasse Tyson's been on there two or three times. The last time was pretty bad, but those people talk a certain way, and they get in so deep, and he asks questions constantly. But he comes on there and says something like, yeah, it creates this anti-gravity field where it bends space-time.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, yep.
It was never like, wait a minute, how did you see that moving around? But you said over here that you didn't know how it worked.
Well,
but yet Bobby knows how to move it.
On that one, you had Idiot Boy over there.
Jeremy.
It'd be like, well, he really doesn't want to talk about that. He had a migraine. He's got a migraine.
He had a migraine. Yep. Yeah, and so I think that would have been, I agree, a totally different thing if you would just bring on the man who's got the story and leave the Jeremy fucker out of it.
Because
Joe can still promote your documentary.
Absolutely.
He can say, look, you can check out his full story and the details here. It's going to air at this time, whatever. But Jeremy's like almost like his lawyer, like, you know, don't really get into that, Bob. You know, kind of nudge type of thing.
I'll tell you something weird, man. This is a way off subject, but it's about Joe. I mean, that's not that far off. Mm-hmm. But I found something the other day. You know how we both like to watch TED Talks every now and again? All right. Joe had a guy on there pretty recently that was a black guy who had talked Klansmen out of the Klan.
Yeah. I watched, yes, I've seen interviews with him, and I watched that whole podcast.
Okay,
yes.
Let me tell you something weird about that.
That TED Talk is where I found him. Yeah.
I watched that TED Talk.
Yep.
All right, if you watch that TED Talk, and then you watch the Joe Rogan podcast, it's like Joe would ask him a question, but his response is literally the TED Talk. It's like they almost got behind the scenes and said, Let me get on here and make it look like an interview, but I'm just going to repeat this whole fucking TED Talk.
Yeah, he basically told his whole story again. Said in the TED Talk, a little more detail, I guess, about the conversations when he first met these people.
It's really
fascinating story.
It is fascinating, but that just got me as like, what is happening? Because Joe likes to act like they just hit record and go. But I don't know. That one felt just odd to me after I went back and watched the TED Talk that had happened prior to that interview.
I mean, I get, you know, kind of, for people that may not know him or whatever, because he's a musician and that's his main thing. This is kind of became his life of, you know, going to these rallies and turning people to the, you know, getting people out of these hate groups. And it's a fascinating story, but yeah, it's like, I get, you've got to kind of repeat it a little bit.
Yeah, but it seemed like it would just flow different if Joe was actually asking questions.
But
I don't know.
It is. He's definitely choosy on because, but the thing is, he admits that kind of stuff. Like, I want to believe this is true. So he knows that kind of stuff, like, you know, confirmation bias, whatever. He wants to believe there's this crazy shit going on with aliens. But when Bob Lazar's on there, you don't grill somebody like you would somebody that you feel more powerful than or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's really odd.
If Eddie Bravo was on there, Joe would beat him all to hell.
Yeah, absolutely. You've seen their arguments.
He would talk to him about confirmation bias.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's so weird.
Because there were all the moon landing arguments and flat Earth and all that stuff they talked about. And they just go at each other.
Yeah.
And I get he's his buddy, but still.
But you would think, though, if Joe believes that stuff that bad about, you really need to think about this stuff, then he would do that with Bob.
Right. And I just didn't see where he had looked into it any further in this last podcast. We got Cat Hole knocking shit down again.
Yeah, that's playing air hockey with my pen. I was wanting to ask you, I guess, before we turn this into Bob Lazar 2.
Oh, yeah. We got off with Joe Rogan and Lazar again, but we just wanted to mention some of those things.
Yeah, those videos that the Pentagon released or whatever, those seem to be old. What, they like 2012, 2014?
Yeah, it looks like they're 8-10 years old or something.
What are your initial thoughts on them?
They're interesting because I don't know enough about aircraft and how they track things. I know that they're very high up, obviously. I don't know how these FLIR, I know they're like FLIR style cameras that are on this rotating bubble on the bottom of aircraft, so I can see how they go 360 degrees. But I don't know enough about how they track them. But it's like you mentioned, I mean, when you have these pilots that get excited about something, you know,
that's what seals it for me.
Right.
If they wouldn't have released the sound, I wouldn't be as excited about them.
Yeah, exactly. Because I do think, with all this said about UFOs and potential visiting Earth and all that kind of stuff, I do think most things can be explained, you know, because there are planes that look at weird angles and off in a distance. There are other things. There are actually, like you mentioned, top secret things being tested in those areas, because obviously there's a lot more sightings in Arizona and New Mexico than there are out here. But I think most things can be explained, but that don't mean that they all can. And
no,
when you see these
right.
pilots, and they're like, what the hell is that? Look at there's a whole squadron of them or whatever he said.
Yeah.
It's like, well, shit. But then you got to ask yourself because if you buy that the government covers up things.
Exactly.
What are they doing? All of a sudden there's like a turn. Okay, well, you're right. Yeah, there are some things out here, you know.
What do you think about this angle? All right. Okay, so I'm assuming that, say, all these pilots are probably briefed, hey, you know, this is what we know the Soviets are working on, this is what China's doing.
Yep.
So they might see something and think, okay, that's kind of what they told us about.
Right.
But do you think our government would ever, like, there's something that's really top secret that they're working on, and just intentionally fly it out, let these pilots see it, and just see, hey, what? See what they think about it, and not so that at the end of the day they can release the footage of it, but just to get the reaction of the pilots and how.
I mean,
let's,
sure.
Let's, because you know you probably they're not worried that they're just going to blast it right away.
Oh yeah, right, know? Right. Because they have to get orders to engage exactly. things. Yes,
so,
exactly.
So they can go, they can come back
right
to the base and say, "Look what we saw, man! I can't wait to get the footage off of that."
Well,
camera.
I couldn't see it being much different than you know the, these verified old programs where they tested shit on their own people.
That's exactly so, the way my mind's yeah. working. Yeah.
I mean, I think people are a little more moral these days as far as mm-hmm. actually hurting people, but getting the response from people, sure.
Yeah. So
why not?
See how they act when they come in. You know, hey, they're going to come
what
in.
What are they going to say?
Dude, you guys, wait till you see this footage. You're not going to believe
right.
it. And the commander there is going to be like, it is pretty impressive.
Yeah, exactly. You know? But it's hard to tell, too, from this footage. Like, it's hard to tell. Because again, I'm not in any military people that, you know, Air Force
yeah,
pilots, Navy pilots, let us know how this stuff works. I understand the basics of radar and how they track it and all that kind of stuff because I've seen some, you know, some explanation type videos on what this number over here means and
yeah, that's what I would
you know,
do,
stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah,
but,
read that.
You know, and I do understand they're at a high altitude, but it's hard to tell when they're just got this, you know, tracker on this object and it's just, it looks to be moving past clouds
mm-hmm.
in the background that is picking up the FLIR or whatever. But it's hard to tell speeds and whatever. And then they tell you, like the one we pulled up before we started this, well, at the end, it looks like it takes off to the left. But did the camera go right?
Yeah, that's right.
So it's hard to tell because some people say, see, this is, I haven't heard any pilots say this, but people watch that footage and say, see, this is, it's not possible. The physics ain't possible. But we're not hearing that from them yet. Like,
yeah.
What speed are they actually going?
The pilot Joe had, he did talk in those kind of terms.
He did
say, this is not
yes,
anything.
He did. He was yeah. the only one. Like you said, you're trying to find somebody that you can get behind that's reasonable and been there and whatever and really believe as opposed to kind of some flaky story.
Yeah. So.
And he seems pretty damn sure.
Yeah, that it's not man-made. He's like, there's no nothing that I know of. That yeah, and I've been doing this a long time.
And if you were in that thing, I think his point to that was you would die.
Right, your body, those G-forces and stuff, man.
Right.
I don't know. Some of those stories, they take you back to when you're a kid and say an adult would tell you like a ghost story.
Yeah.
And now you hear this pilot talking about this stuff. It kind of hits you as an adult in those same places. Like,
right.
You couldn't do this. There's no way, but there's this video, you know, that shows.
But there's, you know, the other side of that is there's things he don't know.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and he's telling you things like the one that would like appear 200 miles away or
yes.
something in a second. I mean, it's like.
And that was, what was his name? He was on a full podcast.
Commander Schrager or something like
something
that.
Something like
that,
yeah.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, that would be a good podcast to check out for anybody interested to see these actual footage. Because you can see the footage, but without the context. It's just like a little story.
Yeah, they call them like tic-tac and stuff. In that podcast.
Yeah, the way they were shaped.
They were like tic-tac video.
And he saw
and
something
else.
Under the water, I believe, in a
yes,
different area.
That's another weird one, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, and you know, I've you know, looking back when I got interested in Roswell and all that kind of stuff, there's all kinds of pilot stories that's been out for decades. But nothing like this where you see it.
Are there big leaps between countries, you think?
You mean in technology-wise?
Yeah, do you think there's ever like a fucking huge leap that's so impressive like
I've
that?
Always thought, and me and you, I think, have talked about this before.
Because didn't cars and stuff like that come almost about, you know, somebody's got the edge for a little bit, but then it's back
yeah,
and forth.
Yeah,
kinda.
But I've always said as far as technology-wise, I've always said I believe that the U.S. at least is probably 20 to 30, maybe 40 years always ahead somewhere.
It
in
seems
a lab,
that. Yeah.
In a lab. Because yeah. it seems to be like, because we were talking about me and you, and I think our generation is fairly unique. We came from the analog age into the digital age and saw it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened so fast. I mean, literally just 100 and something years ago, cars were invented.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
My great grandmother was born in 1897.
Yeah, that's nuts, man.
I mean, she's died now years and years ago,
right.
But I'm just saying, I knew somebody
yeah.
that was born in 1897.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. And then we went so fast.
Before she died,
yeah.
she became accustomed to seeing things flying in the sky.
And cars.
Yeah.
From horse and buggy
to airplanes.
The occasional automobile, and then more and more, mm-hmm. and then it became a normal thing. So it's very similar to us. We're going from analog. And then, you know, we did get like video games, but there were 8-bit, 4-bit video games on one stick and a button.
Yeah.
To having
you used to have to leave your house to go play them.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden it came into your house.
Came into your house, and then you had to go to the library, and now you just pick up your phone, and in 10 seconds you know anything you ever wanted to know in history.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And a lot of those things, as far as other countries, you know, being more advanced than us, they talk about, like, after World War II, how we got a lot of the German and Russian or the German scientists. Yeah.
Right.
Us and Russia kind of split them up or whatever. And so that they were really big on rocket propulsion. I think that was their big thing. And, you know, I believe that other countries can do some pretty amazing things. Obviously, don't get me wrong, I do. But what I'm wondering is, could they do something that would that big of a freaking leap that our pilots would be like, oh my God, dude, check that out.
Exactly. I mean, certainly possible. But then again, it's like there's so many different departments and whatever of all the different military branches that these group of Navy pilots may have no clue how far ahead they are over here in this Air Force secret facility.
Absolutely.
So it's, who knows?
And that is another thing that the Lazar thing talked about, was everything's compartmentalized.
Yes.
And I do buy into that, obviously, holding up knowledge from other places.
Yeah, need to know, you know, and only sharing because what you need.
Honestly, one person, if they knew so much, what would the Soviets pay them?
That's exactly why it's compartmentalized.
I mean, dude, one person.
I mean, there's a reason.
Got tempted.
There's a reason that espionage and industrial espionage and, you know, basically spies as far as countries go exist. They have to keep up with each other because it's the. You have to kind of keep the, and that's, you got to keep the edge.
Got to.
And, you know, and it sounds horrible and all that stuff, but unfortunately it's necessary.
It is.
Yeah, walk softly, carry a big stick.
So I could totally see, like, a Navy pilot seeing something that the Air Force is working on or whatever, vice versa. Space Force, our sponsor.
That's right.
We don't know what Space Force might be rolling out.
Check out spaceforce.com. Get a t-shirt.
Space Force might be rolling out some impressive stuff.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I mean,
saw Trump. He didn't act too impressed. I mean, he was like,
he did say he had a meeting about it.
Yeah, that's
he
what
said
I'm saying.
He had a quick meeting about it. I don't really believe it, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Because he did say our pilots would know, and they're seeing some things.
Yep. And he probably knows, oh, they're just seeing our Space Force shit. Yeah. Wait till I unveil this. Right.
Yeah, because you think about, like, look, you have SpaceX, Elon Musk, and all these things. And they got rockets that land themselves. They don't use them up. Like the old rockets that fell into the sea, one-time use. They cost $1 billion, and they just burn them up, and it's gone. And now these fuckers can land themselves, but of course they screw up all the time because they're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah. So, yeah, we lived through the space shuttle age, too.
Yes, that was a big
thing. We quit wasting those rockets there. That's right.
That's right. The space shuttle was a big thing because you got to reuse it. Yeah. It could land like a plane.
That was so cool.
And it was a big difference
our buddy the Rocket Man. Steam-powered dude.
Steam-powered Rocket Man, R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Another flat earther.
I don't remember his name, but rest in peace, buddy.
Flat earther who is sending himself to the ionosphere to prove the Earth was flat, or at least see.
On a steam-powered rocket,
and then something else was supposed to, like, something that came out, was going to take him higher.
That's right. And that's whatever. Right. I forgot about that.
And we watched that whole documentary called Rocket Man. It's really entertaining on Netflix, I believe.
I think it is.
Netflix, I believe. And he died last month, I think a month or two ago.
Yeah, well, that's terrible. And the video's out.
And you can watch the video.
When I watched the video, I was just, like, heartbroken because we kind of became attached to this guy.
Yeah, he's kind of the Joe Exotic of the Flat Earth community.
He was.
I mean, he was that dude. He was, you know, out there and the even the hair and everything.
Yeah, man.
But he was, you know, when you watched that video, you were like, oh, shit, because his parachute literally got pulled off one of them. Got put off as soon as he left the ground, and you're like, shit.
Dude, but you're actually right by comparing him to Joe Exotic.
Yeah.
They both kind of had this need for fame, to feel like they've done something
with their life. He was, daredevil. He did stunts before that, like Evel Knievel-esque, you know, type thing, and then he took it to another level by kind of attaching himself to the Flat Earth movement.
Yep.
And That's what I'm always saying about that. Elon Musk, just invite these people up.
Yeah, I love just that. Please. I thought that was a good idea.
Invite the.
I mean, the guy would be alive today,
right?
Honestly,
exactly,
because he would have accepted the offer.
I think he would have. I don't think that like Mark Sargent, like I mentioned before.
No, he can't.
He can't.
Right?
Because he can't. He knows what he's going to find out.
Rocket Man was like, if I come back and it's round, I'm going to tell you it's round.
Right. So yeah, that
Mark Sargent couldn't do
instead
that.
Instead of letting people go out here, I mean, they have the right to have fun. You know, if they're adventure seekers and they are adrenaline junkies, you know, that's your go for it.
Yeah.
But at least send them an invite. Take them, you know, get the next time you launch people into the space station, take one of them.
Yeah.
Let them bring their own cameras. They go through the training. The problem is with that community is if they come back and say, well, it's round and it spins, you are paid. You're a government shield now.
That's true.
You can't win.
That's true.
They can't win.
I'm going to tell you, if I ever go up high enough to see if it's round or not, I'm going to be in something that those pilots are like, wow, did you see that? I'm not going to be in something where they're like, holy shit, is that a steam rocket?
Exactly, a steam rocket that you literally pull a valve and you can't undo it.
That was scary. That would have your heart beating, wouldn't it? When that guy had to run up and get him out of there?
Get him out of there. And he ran up and like, and luckily it didn't go off, or it had a slow enough leak for to relieve the pressure.
He's like, this is a bomb. He's sitting on a bomb.
He literally
right now
is sitting on a bomb. I mean, it's crazy. But the things that people will do, that shows you. This is one guy out in the desert with some ingenuity and a passion.
Yeah.
And he built several rockets.
One had
and
like
survived
a
couple of them.
Hot water heater on the front of it. I don't know what that
he
is.
Did. He had a used hot water heater. Something. He used it to shape the cone of the nose or something. I don't know what this is. This is some kind of pot. Somebody threw it away.
Somebody threw it away. I thought it looked good as a nose cone. Yeah. Like, holy.
This dude is putting fucking cookware on his damn rocket. I respect that, though. I do.
I swear I do.
I respect it because the dude had a belief or at least a doubt of something about what science is telling him.
That's
and he went up himself
liked
to find out.
He was determined.
As opposed to going to YouTube videos and going, oh, well, yeah, I'll join this group.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So I respect it.
You damn right, man. And he said it multiple times. His buddy now was a little kookier than him.
Yeah.
But
definitely.
But he said it multiple times. I will tell the truth. Whatever it is, I'm going to tell the truth.
Yeah,
I know he knew. He like you said, he just attached himself to something.
Yes.
Because that was a way to get. Because
he kind of repeated, you know, he did say he believed it, but you don't really know. Maybe he did. But he just kind of repeated some of the same talking points about
that's
stuff.
Wrong.
This already been shown to be complete bullshit. But anyway, that's a whole different topic.
And the last thing I'm going to hit you with.
Well, let me ask you this.
Ask me.
Have you ever seen, back to UFOs, have you ever seen a UFO in the sense of...
Damn, that's a good question.
Something that you didn't know what it was. All right, I know that's not a plane, or at least it don't look like a plane.
Dude, I know in the course of my life, I have seen probably hundreds of lights that at first...
Yes, there's always... There you go.
Yeah. I'm like, is this going to be the time
that
this, I don't find out what this is?
I've had those.
And 99.9% of them end up being, oh, I just needed to get to this angle.
Exactly.
Or wait for it to get to that angle.
Because we have an airport near here, 30 miles down the road. And so I see planes coming all the time. But there are certain angles.
Yep.
That it's like, wait a minute.
You get conditioned to see certain types of lights.
Yeah,
and when
blinking,
you see
there's
something
always a tail light blinking or two blinking on the wings.
You
and,
get conditioned to
yeah,
that.
And then when you don't see that and you see a solid one thing, it's like, what is that? And then, you know, a few minutes later, oh, shit. It was coming towards me at some weird angle.
Or you're driving and it's a light on top of a water tower, but it's like foggy or something.
Right.
And you can't see it off in the distance.
So,
you just see the
so
light.
So I don't think I've ever seen anything myself that I would consider a UFO. Like you said, at first it was a UFO until I did identify it, technically. I did see the space station several times. I think that's really cool. And it's really odd.
I've only seen it once.
Even though you know what it is, because you can go look up the times and see it, it still looks like a star moving really fast. No blinking.
I know. That's the only time I've seen it was the naked eye and one time, and that sucks.
I think I've seen it probably two or three times here, because out here there's no street light, so it's dark. You can look up at night if there's not cloudy. And see everything. So I've seen it a couple of times, and you know, but you know what that is. So
you're about to be in a darker place for a while.
Damn right, I am. We're going to have some pretty stars.
Dang right.
There.
I didn't even think about that.
Because, you know, out here, you can see the falling stars all the time, or the shooting stars, whatever you want to call them. Meteorites. You know what I'm saying?
I've seen two gigantic fireballs.
I have seen fireballs.
This is actually a funny story. Chris and I have a friend. I don't want to blast him too much. A mutual friend who has been abducted multiple times by aliens.
Oh, Lord. We do.
And I happened to be with him outside. This is in the late 90s.
This just reinforces it, man. I know what you're going to.
And we're standing there, and he's telling me about this book. He has a book, kind of like Rain Man had that book, like Squeezed and Pulled and Hurt My Neck, 1988.
Yeah, right.
The Charlie Babbitt Serious Offense book or whatever. So he had a book of strange events, and he would document it. If he woke up from a weird dream, he would document it. So he was telling me and showing me this book, and all of a sudden he goes, "What the hell is that?" And pointed behind me.
I just pictured him doing that.
I turned around, and there was a giant green fireball going all the way across the sky.
Yes.
And it turns out it was seen in like 13 states.
Yeah.
But I had to be with him when it happened.
Of course. And it reinforces
when
his...
When he pointed and said that, and we were in the middle of talking about that shit, oh my God. Scared the hell out of me. But other than that, you know, that wasn't a flying... I mean, that was just a fireball. I didn't think it was a ship or anything.
Right, yeah. And I've seen a few of those, too. They're damn spectacular.
They really are. All right. Let me ask you a crazy, crazy story. I mean, question.
All right. No.
Do you, let's say there was some way that your life could be on the line. All right. Gun to your head scenario.
All right. Okay.
Do you believe 100% of the moon landing shit?
100%? Like, am I at...
Because you know how people say, like my dad, he don't even think we ever been.
I don't believe it was faked.
Right.
But you know, there's certainly some questionable stuff, but when you actually look into it and whatever, and especially with those, there was a recent thing that I think I showed you where they were able to finally recreate that photo that they had issues with the shadows.
No, I don't remember
this. But with the software that actually... had particles. I forgot the name. I wish I knew the name of that software. But yeah, I mean, I'm 99.9% error. That's all fine. True. I get there was a race.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe there was probably, I mean, I'm not sure if Russia ever went late. I'm sure they did later. But I don't think.
Supposedly, they've still never landed there.
Was it China?
China did.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Unmanned.
Right, because they sent a dog.
Is that what it was? Yeah, I think they did send a dog.
Sent a dog or something.
But yeah, they did not. They have nobody. No other humans.
Yeah,
have been on.
But
the
surface. After looking into that, that was a thing for years, right? You know, it's kind of like the Kennedy assassination. I've looked into that so much. I believe almost 100% that's all true. I really do. Because when you, it's kind of like the flat Earth thing. You'll see a couple things online. It's like, oh, that's interesting. But then when you really look into them and get in and hear the scientific explanation for it, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Okay, and I do believe that we've been.
Yeah.
All right, but here's my thing is we're now, and Elon Musk was back on Joe again.
Yeah, I didn't watch this one yet.
He talked about Mars again.
Right.
And my thing is, why have we not been doing more test runs to the moon to test some of this stuff for when something lands on Mars? I know we've got the Mars rover. Maybe people will be like, well, why would you even waste your time? But I mean, for the living quarters and all that stuff that you saw in that movie, The Martian, it seemed like you could have a guy up there in a greenhouse trying to grow tomatoes and stuff on the moon.
Right.
And it's safer. You know what I mean?
Well, I think, I don't know that that's not part of the plan, though. I know they're wanting to go in like 7 years, or maybe it's five now. It's been a while. But I don't know that they don't have plans to stop by there again and test some of those things out as far as like, because this is a one-way trip.
I know, that's right. That's what I'm saying. Test runs there would be.
Now, personally, I don't think they'll ever make it, not because of technology.
Me either.
But because of you're in a spaceship for 7 years.
I know, dude.
I think you would go crazy.
I can't not. I mean, the only closest thing would be people on the space station and people who have lived in submarines that have been submerged for a long time.
Yeah, and I think the space station is 6 months.
Yeah, Matt, it's not. Like, not.
There might be a year.
They've had people who have broke a year.
Yes.
But very few. Very few.
And there's a reason for that.
Yeah, they talk about the bones density and
all that stuff, and as far as just exercise and physical health because of no gravity. But I don't care how many LCD screens you got up with beaches and sunshine.
Amen.
That might work for a week or maybe even a month or a while.
Right.
But you know that's not real when you can't feel the wind in your hair and smell the flowers and walk through a field and put your feet on the ground. They're going to kill each other.
They might have to do like a suspended animation thing.
You might have to sleep for 7 years.
You really might have to.
Exactly. There's a reason that's in sci-fi.
I agree.
Because people think about that kind of thing.
They would. And you would go nuts. Absolutely.
I think you would absolutely go nuts in a spinning tube for 7 years.
And the guy who didn't go nuts at all, never had any freakouts, I wouldn't trust him once we
absolutely
got there.
Absolutely not.
He's fucking crazy.
That's what you're damn right. He's already
He's over there
up.
Whittling shit. Yeah. Well, I don't know what y'all complaining about.
This is great.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe somebody's mentally tough enough, but I don't see it, man. I think I would never do. I mean, it sounds great in some ways, but other ways, just like, nah, I think I'll stick to Earth.
So there's the moon, right? You could test this. You could have somebody on the moon for 5 years.
Sure. And they can get them home fairly quickly.
Yeah. If something happened, we could have somebody up there. You know, at least a chance.
Yeah, because, I mean, think about it. Our phones have as much technology as the whole system that sent people to the moon. That's one thing that people think, well, see, it's not possible. Why not?
Right. That's true. I see what you're saying. That would be one of their arguments.
That's a big argument.
One of the big ones, too, is they talk about...
We got a phone, don't we?
They lower them down in something the size of a washing machine. Yeah. Dock back up and all that shit made out of aluminum foil. I mean, it is. It's crazy that we pulled it off in the late 60s.
Yeah, it is. 70s. It is. But when you look into, because I mean, I get it. I get some of the things look odd, and you know, why ain't there no stars in the sky? Come on, man. You know, physics and science explains all that stuff.
I mean,
just
that's
like the
literally saying
stuff.
That Neil Armstrong is a poser.
Yes,
that he is just cartoon.
Right.
You know, he's a hero, dude.
And believe me, I'm the skeptic. I am, you know this.
Yeah, you are
people
skeptical.
People who watch this podcast know I am the skeptic. I mean, I'm first to question things and look through a sign, you know, just kind of a logical. I try to be as logically consistent as possible on things and whatever. And I believe it because I've seen enough. Because I have looked into it. I try to be fair about all this stuff we talk about and look at both sides. And like you said earlier, you got to wear the hat of the prosecutor and the defense. I mean, that's what I try to do.
You have to.
But with all that said, I do believe after going through that for many years that we actually went to the moon, and I think it's damn cool.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
That's another thing. People say, "Well, why ain't we going back?" Well, it's a rock,
right?
We kind of got what we needed, but like you said, I mean, it would be a good testing ground.
Yeah, or even build. They could go up there and build a hell of a telescope up there.
Yeah,
shit like that.
And who's to say they won't?
And
thing too is, I don't know exactly how the private sector, like SpaceX, works versus the federal government.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, people might have an issue.
And think about like the Antarctic Treaty. We can't do anything there, and it's on our planet.
That's a trip, dude. You're right.
So that's for science only for all countries.
And other things on our planet.
Which is a big flat Earth argument, by the way.
There's probably old, you know, curmudgeon-y people like my dad back in the day that was going, ain't no way they climb Mount Everest.
That's not possible.
They can't breathe up there.
That's right.
You know, so there's always going to be those people.
Right, because the same argument about, well, I mean, look, we have, your phone's more powerful than the computers and stuff they use to do all that. Well, we have a phone.
Yeah, that's right.
We got it down, shrunk down to size. But here's what you did have. Math.
Math.
That's
dude.
It.
Math.
That's what you had.
And that huge team that they had. I'm
math.
I mean, you throw all these dudes there checking and double checking the other dude's math.
That's right.
It's possible.
Absolutely.
And it's not, they're just, it's not, it kind of like the Lazar thing. what's there to gain by faking it all? Supremacy right. over the Russians? Because they're trying
just
to go.
Just to say you did it first?
Yeah. Somebody's going to check for your feet print.
I mean, I get that to a degree. Like, you know, we want to be the first to do this. You know, there's a pride thing there, whatever.
But hollow pride?
Yeah.
That's weird,
it's,
man.
It's hollow, exactly, because this is exactly what it would be. They would know it the whole time and never, and somebody would eventually say, it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
And the only people are saying it all bullshit are conspiracy theorists online. You know, that's basically all it is. And look, I don't want to just, I'm not beating up on those people. I think it's necessary.
It is necessary. And I heard a term while I was looking at some more Bob Lazar things, conspiracy shaming.
Yeah,
A new real thing. You can't think that people conspired to do anything anymore without people calling you a nut.
Right, right. No, I don't agree with that at all.
No.
Like, it doesn't matter what my opinion is personally about Bob Lazar and his story.
Right.
There needs to be, I fully support people out there questioning things. Because we're all skeptical in that way.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
I agree.
And you should always be wary of your government. That's what we're all about here.
You can't
in Republic.
Believe every kook that comes out and says they saw something.
I mean,
honestly, you have to, like, let me listen here, you know, and take this in. That comes with age, man.
Absolutely.
If you're 20-something, trust me, when I was 20-something, I got excited about all that stuff, too. But you get let down enough.
Right.
You start, when somebody starts spouting out some stuff that sounds hard to believe, you start thinking it might...
Yeah.
There's a reason.
Yeah.
You know, so not that we're saying everything's horse shit or bullshit. It's just that we've been let down a lot.
Right.
You know,
there's been a lot of conspiracy theories and like, you know, moon landing is a big one that you mentioned.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, I totally get it. It's like we were talking about the flat earth stuff years ago and we talked about it off podcast. I don't believe that they're all crazy people. They're smart people that are in that community. And because there are things, but it's that confirmation bias, that bubble you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to really know. You don't really want to know. And it's hard.
Yeah, no.
It's hard if you have an opinion formed in your mind to really open up and listen to the other side of anything.
Yeah, because I don't want to believe some of these conspiracies that are out there because by believing in them, and let me talk about the... Just real quick, the Kennedy assassination and 9/11, okay? Those are two big ones in our lifetime. Yeah. If you buy into these, you are thinking the absolute worst about our country, okay? Then that's not a reason not to buy into it.
Right.
Because it could be bad. But I'm just saying, it's hard to want that to be true because it's, you know, I think we have a fantastic country and... I will say I have questions about both of those incidents. I don't think it's really far-fetched. I don't think it's something crazy. I'm just saying if I would say I don't think Oswald acted alone, I'm not saying the CIA killed him. I'm not saying I know who did kill him. I'm not saying I know who the other shooter was. I'm just saying from all the times I've looked at it, I kind of think there was more than him involved.
Yep.
He could have been a lone shooter, but he was not the only one in on the plan. All right, 9/11, all I can say is, yes, Building 7 falls funny. And from just desk fires and stuff.
It falls perfect's the problem.
Right. I'm not saying we flew the planes in there. All I'm saying is there's something that if somebody else does want to dig into it, I'm not going to beat them up for it because it does look weird.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the great thing about these long-form style conversations and podcasts. And the other side of that is people will hear one thing. Before they go any further, they start typing.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, I mean, it's the whole point of it is to have the conversation and see both sides of it. Because when you say, like just using your example, you just said there's something fishy about the way Building 7 fell.
Somebody's already typing. I know.
It does not equal.
No,
it does not equal that the U.S. government destroyed the buildings and killed 4,000 people almost.
That's right.
That does not equal that. There's some translator
in
people's heads, and they hear, well, I think this is fishy, or I don't believe in this, and it automatically translates into something else.
Yeah. I mean, if you really want to dig into my brain and his brain and know what we really think about these things, I don't think we're afraid to put out a podcast on it.
No.
You know, just put in the comments or whatever, but I could go deeper, but I just don't think this is the podcast for it. But I just think that those things are weird, and I'm glad there are conspiracy nuts who really devote their lives to it. Sometimes they become...
Yeah, you kind of caught up in their own bubble.
Agreed.
But yeah, I think it's necessary. I mean, it keeps things in check. It keeps... Because you have at least a knowledge of something or you know, potential knowledge of something floating around enough online now, and it helps us check our government.
Agree.
Right? And the government's made up of a bunch of fucking flawed people in a bunch of different departments.
That's right.
Not really working well together.
No, that's I couldn't say it any better.
That's just the bottom line. Why we have a representative republic as opposed to a fucking democracy.
And dude, honestly, I like to give, you know, think that the best in humans, but there's some evil damn humans.
There are.
And crooked damn humans. And they all have agendas. And so that's another thing about getting older.
Yes.
You know, you do not believe everything you hear from the news, the government, or everything.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean you go against it. I'm just saying... You take it for what exactly it's worth, face value.
Right.
You know, exactly. And then do your own research.
Exactly. That's it. Well said. I mean, that's the thing. With all this stuff, the UFO stuff, the Bible, they all say the same thing. The flat earth people, do your own research.
Yes.
But you do it and you have a different
then if you,
outcome.
What you come up with don't fit their narrative, you're going to get crucified.
Exactly. That's exactly what happens.
Yeah. But
anyway. So, yeah, we're at an hour and a half. That's fine, though. Well, good discussion. I enjoyed it. And let us know, man. Let us know in the comments on YouTube.
Yeah.
UFO stories. Have you seen something odd?
Please.
That you know, were fairly positive it wasn't some kind of, you know, known craft or airplane? I'm curious to hear about that. And if any military people are out there, as far as, you know, pilots or whatever that uses this type of radar, let us know.
Yeah.
You know, how that kind of works and how do you know this? You know, I know there's like probably a speed or knots or whatever on the thing, but you know what I mean? Like, because it's hard to tell when something takes off really fast to the left and then, or the camera's turning really fast to the right.
Right. How can you
tell? Or up
tell?
And down.
How can you tell the difference?
Yes.
Because you're right. Either the camera turn or the plane turn to the right. You never know.
Because there's been so many hoaxes, you know, because that's the other thing. Hoaxes make everything worse.
Shit, and I know. We didn't even talk about
hoaxes because that's what throws a wrench in all the real stories. If they're, you know,
people walking around the woods with big wooden feet on, leaving footprints.
That, and then crop circles have been obviously proven. It looked like, oh, it's so perfect and symmetrical. And it's a guy out there with a fucking board and a rope.
Yes. And trust me when I tell you, the people that sold all those books back in the day were pissed when somebody showed on video how to make a crop circle.
Exactly. Because, I mean, the conspiracies make a lot of money.
They do.
And a lot of, but there's also a lot of good entertainment value in the documentaries and all that stuff, too.
So, yeah, even though
it's an industry.
It is an industry. And I totally recommend you go watch the Phoenix Tapes 97.
Yes.
If you got about an hour and 20 minutes to burn, because it was based on a real event, two real events, but they made a cool thing about it.
Blair Witch style thing.
Really cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. And see if you could spot what we spotted.
Yeah.
Going into it, watching through that the whole thing. What would like, because it's hard to imagine how you would react in a situation like that.
It is.
But it was just too many perfect little coincidences.
In 97, you try to take your mind back to 1997.
Yes. And how could they possibly film that without showing like modern things?
Right.
Well, we've kind of figured that out too. Anyway, yeah, let us know what you think. I'll leave a link for everything that we talked about as far as that thing that I don't have in the description below on YouTube. If you listen to this on Spotify, Podbean, SoundCloud, Google Play, or iTunes, look, I'm getting different orders now. leave us a rating if you like these podcasts,
dude.
These long-form discussions. We really enjoy them. And
I'm sorry.
Oh, no,
you won't forget that, but I just got myself excited talking about making the Bigfoot footprints. And we need to do a Bigfoot. We need to at least table that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm always down for the Bigfoot stuff because it's interesting.
Because I've watched a couple new documentaries on that, okay, too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm always down for it. There's always good room for an old-fashioned Bigfoot discussion.
I agree.
It's interesting.
All right, cool.
Anyway, yeah, on those other platforms, if you're not watching this on YouTube, leave us a rating. We'd really appreciate it. So I think we'll wrap it up and let it fade to black.
That thing covered my face on the last one, damn.